Darwin and the theory of evolution. Of all the new ideas that arose in the Victorian period, none had more far-reaching consequences than Charles Darwin's theory of evolution and natural selection. In reality, the first part of Darwin's theory was not new. This was the idea that all forms of life on the planet had gradually derived from hundreds of millions of years from a common ancestry, and were not, as religion had always taught, preconceived, fixed species designed by some divine being. Such an idea had been maintained by the French zoologist Lamarck, as well as by Darwin's grandfather, Erasmus. However, Darwin was the first to give his theory fully scientific weight and to introduce it to the wider public in his book On the Origin of Species, first published in 1859. The second part of Darwin's theory concerned the struggle for existence and the survival of the fittest. Before Darwin, biology and natural history had been the last refuge for the belief in a creation ordered by divine providence. Even after Newton's laws had destroyed the notion of a purposeful universe, evidence of purposeful design could still be seen in the structure of organs and the specific characteristics which showed the perfect adaptation of each species to its environment. It was Darwin who showed that all existing species had undergone considerable mutation and that their adaptive characteristics had evolved through an extremely long process of natural selection. His insight is remarkably simple. In a given environment, members of the same species compete for survival, and it is those best adapted to the environment who will survive. The characteristics which help them to survive are biologically selected and copied, so that they are inherited by their descendants, who by this measure become even better adapted. In this way, species can be said to gradually evolve or improve their chances for survival. Deer run faster, giraffes' necks get longer, etc. The incredible variation between species is thus accounted for by the different microenvironments in which they live and by their relations with each other. Over a long enough period of time, Darwin believed that this idea could account for the entire development of the chain of life on Earth, from protozoic organisms up to human beings. Uses and abuses of Darwin. In Darwin's mind, his theory applied strictly to the domain of biology and natural history, but unfortunately, like many other scientific ideas, it was soon being abused for social and political ends. The various schools of social Darwinism, which began to appear at the end of the century, employed crude and often completely distorted versions of Darwin's arguments to justify everything, from the superiority of the white races, and therefore the legitimacy of imperialism, to the idea proposed in the US that millionaires were a product of natural selection. Social Darwinism was likewise used to support the theory that the underclasses were less evolved, genetically degenerate, and thus had a natural vocation to vice and crime. There were attempts, most notably by the Italian psychiatrist Cesare Lombroso, to identify a criminal type based on physical features such as the shape of the skull and forehead. As such, features were more typical of the poor because of the cumulative effects of malnutrition, polluted living conditions, and other factors. The link between poverty and crime was thus reinforced and even became naturalized. The idea that war was a biological necessity did much to shape the German government's aggressive policy of military expansion in the years leading up to World War I. Simplified, popularized version of Darwin, along with anti-Semitism and nationalism, undoubtedly played a part in shaping the mind of the young Adolf Hitler, the Darwinian notion of the survival of the fittest in a human contest could mean all things to all men.